Welcome to episode one of the Fenway Experience. Now, this is our first actual episode of this. We are on the way to Fenway as we speak. And I am joined by Michael Ciampa.
Hi, we're on our way to Fenway Park, getting ready to see the Red Sox versus the Orioles.
We got my good friend, Justin Baldino, who we're going to be interviewing today.
Well, it's good.
And my little cousin, Patrick Keeney, is just joining us today. He will not be speaking much.
That's true.
All right. So, now that we are on the way, I want to know, Justin, how do you feel about the Red Sox this year? Before we start this interview, let me give you a little insight on Justin. Justin is a 17-year-old high school student at Shrewsbury High School who loves the Red Sox and loves diving into deep statistics and other things about them. He's very knowledgeable about the team, and soon, one day, he hopes to be a baseball general manager or scout for talent. He plans on attending a school to do management so he can be, or sports management specifically, so he can manage a team like the Red Sox, the Twins, other baseball teams, which is something he really is passionate about.
I'm gonna be completely honest,
it's been a very disappointing season, especially after all the expectations coming out of last year's World Series team. We've kept a bunch of the same team. I mean, Alex Cora is a good coach, and it just hasn't nothing's clicked this year. The offense has been fine, but the pitching staff, I mean, was it around 30 blown saves? I mean, cut that in half and we're in the playoffs, so.
Yeah, I agree with you. That very disappointing season, and don't you think every time you still go to a Red Sox game, don't you have a good time, though, even though it's disappointing this year?
I do, and we get on TV a lot.
That is very true.
Justin, what do you think the Red Sox should do this offseason to improve the team?
Priorities definitely got to be pitching, whether it's free agent acquisition or trading for someone. Probably, I mean, looking into a trade for Mookie Betts. I mean, we most likely not going to be able to pay him. We got to choose between him or JD. I mean, we could probably get better acquisitions for Mookie Betts in return. And I mean, JD, there's also more limitations for him, because I mean, I doubt he can play in the National League anymore, considering he's a god awful fielder. So I mean, definitely pitching.
Now, wouldn't you think the Red Sox have one of the best pitching staffs when we have a ton of money invested in ace Chris Sale, former Cy Young winner David Price, and former Cy Young winner Rick Porcello?
No. They can't pitch. Like, Sale just had a bad year. His arm, there's something wrong with his arm. And David Price just can't pitch for Boston. He pitched good last year, but that was his only good year in the last 3 years in Boston. And I think Rick Porcello's just too old and tired. His career is done.
And how about reigning MVP, Mookie Betts? Why are we trading him? Why would we trade a MVP caliber player? Possibly the second best player in baseball.
Because he's not going to sign with the Red Sox. He wants a lot of money, and the Red Sox don't have the money for him. He's going to go to some National League team that can pay him some big contract, and that's that.
Now, how about younger players like Andrew Benintendi, who's going to look for a contract extension in the near future? Do you consider trading him?
Maybe, unless next season he's doing a lot better. If you look at his stats this year, I would have traded him. He's got nothing to offer.
And how about reports that are coming out about Rafael Devers, who might be getting a large contract extension, even though his contract does not expire till 2024, I believe?
I would offer him an extension. He's a very good player at a very young age. He will be the face of the Red Sox.
Do you have any comments to add on to that, Justin?
I definitely agree with that. I mean, we need to keep Rafael Devers as long as possible. I mean, can only, at least I assume, go up from here. I mean, he had a great season, but I mean, dropped off a little towards the end. But I mean, if he improves his fielding, just keeps the consistency batting, then it's definitely going to be the face of our franchise.
Now we're going to ask a question to Pat here. Pat, how do you feel about going to your first Red Sox game and being able to go on the field and possibly get signatures from players today?
Well, I'm very excited because it's going to be a great experience even if the Red Sox are not going to be playing well today. I'm excited to get a signature in my first game because it's just a very cool experience, and to meet players is very cool.
Thank you, Pat, so much. Now, back to Justin, who is our ex-Red Sox expert in the car. What do you think would be a good idea for the Red Sox to do about their bullpen and possibly having no one good in it?
It's a tricky situation this offseason because we don't have a lot of money to give out. We're already spending a crap ton of money on a bunch of our starters. I mean, we have the Mookie Betts situation. I mean, the best option would honestly be trading, try to get some young pitching prospects maybe in a trade with Mookie Betts along with the experienced pitcher. Honestly, I mean, we gotta add another decent starter as well if Chris Sale and David Price are still iffy as well.
Now, some people thought that Nathan Eovaldi, who was an acquisition from the Tampa Bay Rays last season, that we made for a playoff push, and he actually had a great season. We offered him a large contract extension, and it's seen the payoff last year. But in this season, why has he been terrible for us in the bullpen and when he started a couple games this year?
I mean, he had that lingering injury that's been, I think, still bothering him. But, I mean, he's been injury-prone throughout his entire career so far. I mean, I personally think we shouldn't have given him that large of a contract. I mean, he definitely earned some money through last season playing with us. I mean, his unforgettable six-inning extra inning performance against the Dodgers in the World Series, but I mean, overall he's just been too inconsistent throughout his career and too injury prone for him to earn that much money.
I agree with you on that one. Now, Mike, what do you think is going to take us to the next level? What do you think we're going to return to our reigning championship status?
They need to do something with the bullpen. If they get bullpen pitchers, they have a better chance of getting to that playoff status. Once you have bullpen pitchers, then you're all set. Like, that are actually decent. That can hold games where they are, not allow any runs to be scored. That's when you know you have a good bullpen. If you don't have that, then you can't win any games.
Then why did last year, when people said the bullpen was possibly as bad as this year's bullpen, why did we end up winning the championship last year?
Because our stars were really good. All of our stars didn't have a losing record. They had low ERAs and could last a long time in the games. Most of them were averaging 6 to 7 innings, which was very good for starters.
All right, that concludes the interview part of our podcast. We are now going to switch on to the arrival to Fenway Park segment and how we get there and where we go to park or how we arrive to Fenway. Now, this is a little shorter part of the podcast, but this is a very important part, so keep tuned. Tell us a little about where we park and where we think is the best place to park at Fenway.
Okay, so I park in Brookline, right across the street from the Fenway T station, also across the street from the Sears building. It's in a little neighborhood that not a lot of people know of. It's right off of Beacon Street, and we park there because it's cheaper to get a ticket there than park at Fenway. Fenway is between $40 and $50 to park, and if I get a parking ticket in Brookline, it's $30. So it's a no-brainer to park in Brookline.
Now, you typically walk from where you park in Brookline to Fenway. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how you walk there and where you go?
So I usually walk down by the T station, walk right through there, come on the back side of the Sears building, and once you come out through there, you look left and you can see Fenway right there. So I walk straight up there and then take my right down Lansdowne Street. You can see everyone, hear everyone. It's no brainer. It's an easy walk.
All right, there are other ways to get to Fenway Park. You can take the T, which a lot of people do. And now, me, I don't really know much about the T. Like I said, I usually just drive in with Mike when we go to games. And when you do take the T, it's very easy. You can look it up. But depending on which station you get on at, which is just whatever one's closest to you, most of them, almost all of them, lead to Boston. You can just look it up, what station. It depends. You can either get off at the Fenway station.
Or the Jersey Street.
Yeah, Jersey Street station.
That used to be the Yawkey Way Street station.
And those are the two closest to Fenway. And it's just real easy to look that up online. Really easy directions and everything. And right on Google. I definitely suggest if you're on a budget, don't want to drive, right there. Best way to get there. Alright guys, thank you for tuning into episode 1 of the podcast. I hope you guys took in what Mike said, the advice of getting here. Hope you listened to what I said about the train, to take the train in. Now, this episode was mostly interview with Justin. Great guest. Hope you guys loved him. Now, we are going to be bringing you guys on the field today. We are going to go get signatures before the game because we were lucky enough to have the opportunity to experience this. Now, everyone, I hope you enjoy. See you on the next one.